Welcome to the Dynamics of Everyday Life, where we demystify some tricky concepts and get to know ourselves a little bit better. Welcome back to the Dynamics of Everyday Life. Today I'm thinking about what can get in the way of our everyday relationships and friendships. Are there some people in your life that you just cannot get on with? For whatever reason, they completely rub you up the wrong way and the relationship feels clunky and uncomfortable. Do you find yourself being dragged into psychological games or dynamics that you feel you can't escape from? And do these moments leave you questioning whether there is something you are doing wrong? Because you don't necessarily see it happening with other people. Perhaps there isn't the same intensity for other people, or their relationship doesn't seem as fraught. This can be confusing and make us feel like there is something wrong with us, or them, as why does it happen with us and not with other people? There are several different reasons as to why some relationships don't work and others do. These can include defensive behaviours on both sides, time, circumstances and environment. But maybe one of the biggest impact on relationships that tends to get overlooked is transference. Transference is a key theme in psychodynamic thinking, and it could be argued that without transference, psychodynamics might not work so well. It's a very popular topic culturally, it's often referred to, but in quite a vague sense, and it's often confused with either displacement, where we displace our angry or difficult feelings from one person or situation onto another, for example, where we kick the cat when we're really angry with our boss, or projection, where we project the bits we don't like about ourselves into other people. So let's have a think about what it means from the psychodynamic perspective and see what we can learn to use in our day-to-day interactions. Transference wasn't initially seen by Freud as particularly important to the psychoanalytic treatment. When he started to become aware of it, he felt it was a form of displacement and was no more relevant to the treatment than any other symptom. However, as his research and his case studies grew, he started to understand the central part it played in the treatment. In 1914, he introduces the term transference neurosis as he realises how essential this concept is. And if you're thinking about reading some Freud, and I know it's not everyone's cup of tea, but just in case your interest is piqued, a good place to start can be the case studies that are published, as this is where the material really starts to come alive. So what is transference and how does it impact our everyday lives? Freud describes transference as the patient's relationship to the earliest figures in their lives being played out by the patient towards the doctor. This is generally the parents, but not necessarily so. Think about the stereotype of the patient falling in love with the doctor. This can be seen as a positive transference. What's happening is repressed material is being repeated in the treatment as an experience in the here and now. So in a nutshell, the patient is responding to the doctor as if they were their mother or their father, not seeing the doctor for who they actually are or relating to them in an appropriate fashion. It might be more obvious in this example due to the way that the relationship is constructed. It's quite free from environmental or other outside impacts. There's less noise to distract from what's going on. Whereas our everyday relationships can have several layers to them and a lot of unconscious communication from many sides, so it can be tricky to work out what's actually happening in a relationship. It doesn't mean to say that it doesn't happen in everyday life, though. There doesn't need to be a consulting room for transference to emerge. Wherever there's human communication, there's the potential for transference to occur and get in the way of our relationships. So how do we spot it? Given that transference is an unconscious process and is something that we've likely been doing for many years, our psyche is not going to want to give up its precious secrets. Throw in the complication of us maybe not understanding our early relationships and the impact that they had on us and our behaviour, and you can see how this becomes tricky to identify. So have a think about some of the relationships in your life and how you feel about them. What kinds of responses and reactions do you have? In these examples that might be happening for you, I refer to the other person in the relationship as AB. So this can look like, I feel like AB turns me into someone I don't recognise. AB makes me irrationally cross. Why doesn't AB understand what I am saying? It's like they're deliberately trying to misunderstand me. Why won't AB listen to me? I keep trying with them. I keep trying to please AB, but it feels like it's not working. I'm worried AB will end this relationship or friendship, whether or not you have any evidence for this. This relationship feels wrong to me, but I can't put my finger on why. These all sound quite negative, and some transference reactions are negative. No human being is perfect, and in all of our early years there will have been some difficulties that our unconscious will have made sense of in whatever way it could at the time and stored away. However, there are plenty of examples of positive transference, and these can be just some of the thoughts attached to a positive transference. AB is just fantastic. I want to be like AB. I hope AB thinks I'm as great as I think they are. I really want to please AB. When I was doing my latest round of coaching accreditation, I had some mentor coaching to help me with my submission, and I would turn up to my sessions with all my notes and questions prepared. Certain things were highlighted in my notes. I had all my work laid out and I was ready to go. If I could have brought my mentor coach an apple, I probably would have. And one day I caught a glimpse of myself reflected in a window as I prepared, and it struck me there and then that I was having a positive transference to my mentor coach, and I wanted to please him in the same way that I wanted to please my parents. I've used the example of AB here because it does seem more obvious with certain people and in certain situations. This is because there is something about that other person or circumstance that awakens a response in our unconscious and sets off a transference reaction. It may be a particular way that a person behaves or responds to us. It might be the situation and how we view it, including the meaning we've given to it. Now we've identified where there might be some transference going on, let's have a think about how this might impact us. In the example that I gave of my positive transference to my mentor coach, the impact that it had was beneficial to me. I got accredited at the higher level at my first attempt, not something that's a given. I worked really hard for my mentor coach as I wanted him to be proud of me. And once I was aware of it, I knew what was going on and could keep it at a level that I found helpful and appropriate. So if it's working for you, then great. However, this might not always be the case. It might be that you feel frustrated and unhappy at the way the relationship is developing. Maybe you're feeling stuck in the dynamic that's been created and want to find a way out, but you aren't sure what this could look like. Will we ever be able to stop transference from happening? I don't think so, because we won't ever be able to get on top of everything that happened in our early years, and we can learn a lot about ourselves from it. However, there are things that we can do about it. First of all is our good friend awareness, because we can't do anything until we're aware that this might be happening. Consider your relationships. If you're thinking, who do I turn into in this relationship? Why am I this person in this relationship? I don't recognise myself. There's every chance that there might be some transference going on. Once we're aware, we can then take a step back and ask ourselves some questions. What relationship or relationship pattern might I be repeating? Why does this personal situation bring this out in me? Is this helping or hindering me? What do I need to change in this dynamic to help me step out of the transference response that I'm having? And if I can't step out of it, can I at least change it? And maybe, and this is a bit brutal, is this a relationship that I want to continue? One final point for today, other people will be transferring too. You might be being transferred onto. And the most we can do about this is to be aware that this can happen. Think about those times when something has happened in a relationship that you couldn't explain, or if someone responds to you in a particular way that doesn't sit right with you. There could be some defence mechanisms popping up to play, or there could be some transference that's getting in the way. In these moments, before we leap to blame ourselves or create meaning where there might be none, consider if there could be some transference at play, because whilst we can do the work on ourselves, we can't control how other people will behave towards us. Looking at ourselves at this level can be challenging and unnerving as we develop our awareness, so I'd always encourage that you do this at your own speed. If you feel you need some extra help around this, then I've put together a PDF resource sheet and you can find the link for this in the show notes. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Dynamics of Everyday Life. Please hit the follow button for future episodes and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow me on Instagram at The Dynamics of Everyday Life or find me on LinkedIn at Julia Rogers. I'd love to hear from you and hear your thoughts on dynamics. The Dynamics of Everyday Life is brought to you by Coaching 42 and the fabulous team at the Podcast Boutique.